Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're into part 130 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program 232, if you'd like a copy of it. We have four different ways of how to do that. It is absolutely free, and the postage and handling is free. Just let us know whether you want a CD, copy, or an audio tape. At the end of the program, Sharon will tell you four different ways on how to receive a copy of it. We've got some letters here and a real strong message that you won't want to miss. You know, everybody says you can't take it with you, so you should do what you can for the Lord. Do everything that you can with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment, is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I did a recording years ago with Gary Paxton, who arranged it. We had the best musicians in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's called You Can't Take It With You Where You're Going. And here it is right now. Right now, we have a lot of letters, and let's go up to the throne now to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank you and praise your holy name because we read in your word that we've been called into the kingdom of God, Father, to be served, but we've been called into the kingdom of God to be servants. And this is the message that the people of the world cannot stand. They hate it. And this is the reason why they killed Jesus, and this is the reason why they're attempting, they're killing Christians all over the world, is because we're preaching a gospel that is totally foreign to the things that they teach and preach in this world today. Everybody wants to, quote, make it, unquote, so that they can be served instead of, they don't want to hear a gospel that teaches the people of the world that they must give up their former life and serve you, who tells us that we must serve others. We must sell what we have and give it to the poor. And the poor and needy, we have to do that. It's what you command us to do. You send in finances to us, not for ourselves, but we are allowed to maintain ourselves, and we're allowed to also, commanded really, to help others, the poor, the needy. And there's so many people that are dirt poor in this world, Lord, we thank and praise you for it. Now, people in Radio Land, you can't take what you've got with you, and you need to do everything. Lord, press it upon their hearts and souls and their spirits to do something that will cause them to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and for you to be able to say to them when they come before you in heaven, that you should say to them, "Come in, my good and faithful servant, well done." This is the thing that I want the Lord to say to me when I stand before him on judgment day. I want him to say, "Come in, my good and faithful servant, well done." I've seen people say crazy things in a joke. They think it's a joking way that they wanted the Lord to say other things to them, and that's all I want him to say. Nothing matters in this whole world with the exception of getting into the kingdom of God. And your word, Father, shows us exactly how we can accomplish that. And so it behooves people to pick up your word, the Bible, and study it with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and let it be their lamp, their guide, their sunshine in this world of life eternal, the straight and narrow way to life immortal. Lord, let this message that you bring this evening penetrate those that were already ordained for it to penetrate into their hearts, their spirits, that their souls might be saved. And Lord, let the church be strengthened from it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, where do we have letters from?
From Aquagana.
Okay, let's hear it.
Dear Pastor
Long. This is from the place where Buster was?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Buster did a great work over there. He found out who were the real Christians and who weren't. And out of 100 different places there, he found two places, refugee camps with around 50,000 or more in them, that were really on fire for the Lord. Even the little children knew the word. Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Alamo, thanks once more for the said amount of $1,000 that was sent. This amount was used to bring in electricity in the children's ministry, which receipt to that is going to be given to Co-Pastor Buster.
Right. Every week they get 1,000 or more, and they get literature and Bibles, tapes, T-shirts, clothing of some sort. Okay, and then what? And then there's another camp there that we're doing the same thing for. Okay, go ahead.
Secondly, it was also used for the roofing of the porch of the ministry and to cover some leaking area over the roof. In other, we bought roofing sheets, 12 pieces, and the balance was used to paint the ministry. From the first recording that was recorded to the present one, you will notice a lot of nice changes the Lord has done through you, His divine servant. A million thanks to the Lord for using you, His divine servant, to reach His needed people that has laid their lives down for Him. I would like to say, in a layman's way, thanks very, very much. Vanny from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Then from the Solomon Islands. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. I thank God for your anointed ministry, which reaches many countries in this world for Christ. You are turning back many lost souls the world over into God's kingdom in the dying minutes of this dispensation. Praise be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom you are serving effectively. It was a blessing to receive your world newsletter entitled The 5 Steps to Salvation, The Secret of How to Defend Your Mind, The Code, and The Art of Spiritual Communication. They were given to my small brother by someone. I was really blessed by them. Please, Brother Alamo, put me on your mailing list, and I want you to also send me the book entitled The Messiah and 5 Bibles, one printed in large letters, King James Version. May God continue to bless and anoint you with a double portion of His blessings and anointing. Yours in Christ's service, Justice from Malaita Province, Solomon Islands.
Okay, where's the next letter from? Praise the Lord. Thank God for all these people.
From Togo, Africa.
Okay.
Well-beloved Pastor Alamo, nothing in the world gives me more joy than that which brings me immeasurable peace within. I am very happy being filled, for I am honored. Let me tell you, it was since 2003 that I discovered the first time in my life your world newsletter in English entitled The Real Thing, The Real Deal. Even though it was in English, this comforted me and straightened me out again spiritually. So I kept it with care and caution, and in 2005 the idea came to me to ask of you if I could be a distributor. The Word of God is reality for today. It never grows old, and it always brings about profound changes in man. You are blessed. I am very grateful for your consideration, in particular with respect to me, and I believe this will continue right up to the coming of our Lord Jesus. As soon as I opened the box and read, "Beware of the blessings coming from the Vatican and its clergy, especially of their popes," and "Earthquake," I began distributing them in prayer. Let me tell you, the Catholics are convinced of the truth and reality. I give thanks to God for your life and your ministry. May the Holy Spirit enlighten you more and more, and certainly souls will be won to the kingdom of God. I also hope to have messages on audio cassette or CD from you. Don't forget my T-shirt and sweatshirt. There are actually a lot of people in the Christian churches here in Togo. Wouldn't it be nice, beneficial for the Togolese if we broadcast your cassettes and videos on radio and television? My hope is that your messages get to more people. It is very serious. If they are in English, well, but in French is better. Thank you in advance for understanding. Komi from Lomé, Togo.
Well, we have all these messages or the literature in almost, you know, every major, I think we do have in every major language, including Hebrew, and Italian, French, Spanish, you name it, German, Greek, everything. Okay, well, now we have a message here for you from the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
God created us for mastery.
Right. To be masters over the world. You know, a lot of people want to be masters, but they have to learn that we first must master ourselves. People think that they're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, and by not, even though they don't study the word every day, they don't pray at all, and there's no possible way that we can stand even one day unless we are fortified by the power of God living in us, and we're empowered by that power when we read and pray. This is our power and our success. And when we seek the Lord, not just read, but seek the Word of God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. All right, then what?
God created us for mastery, yet that is not the reality most people experience in their daily lives.
No, they don't. Okay. There's so many. The Bible says, he cautions us that in the last days, people would, the love of many would wax cold and they would betray. Even Christians would betray one another. I had a bunch of Christians that were, they were unsaved, we could tell that. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they stood up against me in the courtroom on such bogus thing that I was beating the IRS out of money. Now, we have some CDs now. There's so many people that are enlightened. For instance, they took a survey to find out, independent people rather than these Vatican news networks, and they took a survey of how many people believe that the 9/11 was an inside job. In other words, that the White House was behind the whole thing. And the thing that I hate about those exposés is because they never put the finger on the Pope. And if you do a survey of all these people, they just say it's the White House. And it is. They're definitely in with it. But it's the Vatican that's ordering them to do that. And why? How do I know this? Because the Bible tells us so. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's why it's so important for you to read the Bible, because it tells us that Satan's seat is in Rome. All right? And it tells us that they're the ones behind every evil thing that is happening on earth. That satanic cult there is the mother of every abomination on earth. And so it's just like in the days that Jesus was betrayed. Caiaphas was the priest, and he was a Sadducee. He was sad, you know, because they don't believe in the resurrection. They believe that everything that they're going to get is on this side of eternity, but the Bible plainly tells us that Caiaphas was absolutely 100% wrong. And I've written something up on that this evening, and we're going to do that, but just keep reading here for a while.
They are frustrated because they are not fulfilling their purpose.
Right, they're not fulfilling their purpose because they're not fulfilling the Lord's purpose. Okay? The purpose that the Lord created is for us to seek Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment. If you're not doing that, if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. Because eventually you're going to break them all. Don't you realize how many thousands of people, and now even millions of people, that have come to the Lord through this ministry? And I've seen them come in, and they were really praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. And now, after they stopped reading, they stopped praying, and they stopped believing the Word of God that says all the things that I've been doing are of the Lord. Everything that I do is of the Lord. And they don't believe the Bible anymore. And what they did is they stood up in a courtroom in Memphis, Tennessee, and told every filthy lie that there was about me. And the thing, then they told things that were true, but they're of the Lord, okay? Because when the Lord tells you to do something, you better do it no matter what. Amen?
Yeah.
It's like the people tell you, don't distribute the literature because we don't want you to upset the comfort way, the comfortable way that we're living. We don't want you to preach a doctrine to us where we have to serve somebody. We worked hard all of our lives and we earned money. And some of these basketball players say, you know, like we earned our money playing basketball, football, baseball, and all these other balls, you know. And like we earned that money and we went out there and we got beat up in boxing and everything like that. But and so we want to be served. And so this is the actual doctrine. You can see all these infomercials on television that say, I make $5,000 a week or a month. And another one pipes up and says they make $20,000 a month. And look at us. We're living in comfort and everything. And we have maids and butlers and everything now. And you could do the same thing as you can start serving your... I make so much money getting real estate that, you know, you don't have to pay any money down on. And then, you know, you fix it up a little bit and sell it for 10 times as much as what you paid for it. And then you'll have people bowing and scraping to you. Wouldn't you like that? Well, they don't want to hear a message of give up what you have. Or now, you are to give up your former life of just trying to earn enough money for yourself, just like I was before I got saved. I wanted to have a house in a real nice home in Beverly Hills, and nice homes throughout the United States, and then some in Europe. I didn't want anything to do with Israel, because Israel to me was a bummer. You know, it's just everywhere you look, there's a... talking about the Bible, and of course I didn't believe the Bible back then. Then I had the supernatural experiences, and then I believed God so much, and I feared Him so much that I had to leave what I was doing 42 years ago and just go down on the streets is where we went, Sue and myself, and we went to we started distributing literature on the streets, and we were just standing on a corner on Hollywood Boulevard, and we'd pass out or distribute the literature to different people passing by. And the people that were dressed up real nice, that loved to have people serve them, I didn't want anything to do with the gospel. But when we distributed to the hippies, I mean, these people had torn jeans, dirty faces, long hair, and they didn't smell good. But they were receiving the gospel, and they were really receiving it like the people in Africa are doing now, in India and in Philippines and all over the world. And of course we still get a lot of responses here in the United States. We're praying through people here every day. But on the whole, the people are being taught, they've trained ever since they become saved, is that think and grow rich, or all these books that teach you how to succeed in life so that you can have comfort and have people serve you and have servants and drivers and all this kind of stuff. But these people don't want to hear the message, or they'll kill you. The government, the elite people in the government today will absolutely kill. They'd murder Christ again if He came on the scene. But Christ, they don't realize Christ is on the scene because the same gospel that Jesus preached, we're preaching. And the same things that Jesus allows, we're allowing also. And we may be doing it. If He commands us to do something, we're going to do it. And it doesn't make any difference. You always find the people that hate the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, they're going to bring accusations against you because they want you stopped. And so that's what you're... they don't want to this gospel preached any longer. That's obvious, because there's a lot of people that the Vatican is supporting, and they're giving them millions of dollars every year, and they want this gospel to end right now. And they are willing to kill And they warned of the Christian world by killing the people at Waco. Those people were just Bible-believing Christians. That's all they were. And so, go ahead and keep reading.
They do not function properly because they are not living in the environment for which they were created.
No. The environment that the Lord created us for was to live in the kingdom of heaven. In the commonwealth of the kingdom. The Lord doesn't want us sick. His people, the people that he created sick, he doesn't want to see them going to hell. That's why he died. That's why he came into the world. But it's a life of self-denial. And, you know, you people in the world, the majority of the people in the world don't want to deny themselves. The Lord says, now that you're born again, now that you fear me, now that you're going to want to serve me, now the thing that you're supposed to do, the first instruction is to deny yourself. Deny ourselves what? That means deny yourself the things that you like to do now, that you've always done in your life. Deny your life and let me live my life in you. Let me live. Because if you don't let me live, I'm going to send you to hell and you'll die eternally there, burning and in a lake of fire, screaming your head off. Now, I'm doing this for your own good. I'm warning you and showing you the map of how you can enter into the kingdom of heaven by simply deny yourself and take up a cross now, your cross, and follow me. Live the way I did, in other words. Amen?
Amen.
Because anybody that's preaching, let's enjoy today's life and all this kind of stuff. This is a satanic message. And the people of the world love it. Anytime you see ministers that have humongous crowds, my God, I see them with 1 million, 2 million people out there, and everybody thinks that's of the Lord. But they're not telling them that they have to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not telling them that they can't sin. They're telling them that the Lord forgave us for all of our sins, the past, present, and future. Well, this is a lie, and that God loves us unconditionally. When in reality, the Lord has conditions for everything, okay? There's a lot of conditions that you must meet in order to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, that's just pure. But now, the people, the Lord said in these last days that the spirit of Satan would enter into people. There'd be seducing spirits. And that they would betray us. Now, there's the actual people that have been in this church. They've been gone for 20 years or more. And they're saying every kind of evil thing. They don't know what we're doing over here. They don't know how this ministry has actually exploded throughout the world. And we're getting hundreds and hundreds of emails. Every day, faxes and letters and mail, all sorts of things, you know, and it's exploding. But, of course, we have those type of people back in the days of Jesus, in the days of the prophets, in the days of the apostles. They hate the gospel. They once were saved, but they gave their lives over to Satan, and now they are doing everything in their power. They're just hoping that in some way that they'll be able to destroy this ministry like they destroyed Jesus. But they didn't. You'll never destroy this ministry because our ministry is the same as Jesus. It's Jesus in us. If I was worried about you flakes that have fallen away from the Lord and love to live lives of sin, and you're looking to make money from the government or whoever is paying you, supporting you, because you people were flaky when you were here. You weren't able to make any big money. This ministry has supported you and your children for years before you ever decided that you wanted to go back out in the world and live your own lives. Like this Susie Grew stated that she served the Lord for so many years, and she says now she's going to serve her children and her husband, and she just wanted to leave. Well, this is one of the main people that is doing things to us. I left a career that was extremely lucrative. I had it made in the entertainment industry, and I had left my Beatle album behind and everything, and these people know it. And they know that the Lord talks to me, and they know that I serve the Lord. But these people are so corrupt, they actually are with all their power doing everything they can to
to destroy this the work of God. And the Bible plainly says, how can you fight God? Now, so you say, well, maybe they'll be like the Apostle Paul, and the Lord will come down and start talking to them and say, you know, so-and-so, why dost thou, you know, why are you persecuting me? No, Paul was never saved before. He did that to a man that had been a sinner, but he came to him. He'd never been saved. He was a Pharisee. And on the road to Damascus, he came down and told him, why are you persecuting me, Saul? It's hard for you to kick against God. Well, but so if you're thinking that God's going to come down on a bunch of backsliders where seven demons have entered into them, you're crazy. Because it's impossible for them to be restored. Because not only have these people fallen away and gotten back on drugs or whatever they're doing out there, they're now bringing slanderous statements against the Bible and against the one that the Lord has called to get the gospel throughout the world. And so they're in a lot of trouble. But we're going. So they betrayed. They're betrayers. They stated that I had two sets of books in the trial over in Memphis, and I swear before the Almighty God, I did not have two sets of books. I never jimmied the books. I don't even pay any attention to the books. I trained them how to do books in the first place, the people here, because I knew how to do that from the different experiences that I had out in the world, in the business world. But I know better than to do something like that, to put the gospel out to shame, as they're doing. But they are not going to prosper. There was a person that was attacking us in Los Angeles. A couple of weeks ago, he dropped dead from cancer. And these people that are saying these things have seen that happen in this church many times. People that have attacked us, they're now dead. They're stiff in caskets, and their souls are in hell. People were saying on the TV the other day, well, when a person dies, do they go to heaven right away? Or do they go to hell right away? Yes, they do. The Bible says that to be absent in this world is to be present with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So they go there right away. They say, well, then how are they going to come back? Well, the Bible tells us plainly there's two judgments. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. We're judged immediately when the spirit leaves our body, and then we go to either heaven or hell. And then on the final judgment, there's two judgments. The spirits of everyone that ever lived here on this earth goes back to the bodies that they were living in before. There's particles of dust. All the particles of dust that were in them before come back together. It is this incredible supernatural way, because people doubt the power of God, that He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows everything you're doing. And that's going to happen. And then your spirit is united with your body, and you're resurrected from the dead. The graves will open up, and the bodies will come forth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, this is the final judgment. Then you're changed into an ecclesiastical body, and then you go up before the Lord to the mercy seat of Christ, and you're let in. But those of you that have thrown the Bible in the trash and have attacked God's work here on earth, you're going up before Him, and your soul is going to go into the pit of hell, and then it's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, and you're going to be sorry. So sorry that there's not even going to be words for you to be able to explain it. You're going to be there in hell. Now, it's just like a lot of people will give you doctrines that Judas Iscariot was saying. Okay, let's do a little bit of this message that I did today, okay? Go ahead and start reading it.
The 11th chapter of the book of John. And I'm reading from verse 57.
That's the last verse in the chapter of John. Okay, go ahead, read it.
Quote, now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders, and that's what the government is doing today.
I was giving orders to what?
That if anyone knew where Jesus was, that person was to report it so that they might seize him.
And so it's the same thing, that they might seize him and that they might kill him. Okay, well, that's what they did to a lot of FBI agents. One of them was John Peeler. They paid him. They wanted to pay him to assassinate me. Why? What am I doing wrong? They make up things that I'm doing wrong, but I'm not doing them. Okay? And anything that I am doing is the Lord. It's that's between the Lord and myself, and I'm doing it because the Lord ordered me to do it. Okay? Now, what else?
That's the last verse in chapter 11. At that time...
Chapter 11 of John, okay? They were wanting to seize Jesus. They wanted to get rid of him because of his message. Okay, then what?
At that time, Lazarus returned to life. He came back to life because of Jesus raising him from the dead.
Right, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then keep it going.
This was the actual last straw for all the religious leaders and the elite at that time. These people were hell-bent on killing Jesus, and they are hell-bent today on killing the Jesus that's in you and I, because we are preaching a kingdom where the elite have to serve.
Right. We're preaching the same gospel that Jesus preached. And the satanic people on the face of this earth, the wealthy, the elite, hate this gospel because we're telling them that they have to give up and come and follow the Lord so that they can have riches forevermore according to the commonwealth of the Lord in the kingdom of heaven. That's why they hate it. That's why they hate liars, don't want to admit that they're liars because they don't believe the gospel. They don't believe if you don't confess your sins, you can't be saved. You have to confess them. And they don't believe that it's, these people that are fighting us, they believe that this government, this Antichrist government, is more powerful than the Lord. And they're going to find out extremely soon that they're on a real bad trip. It's a real bad one. The worst you can ever have. Then what?
The elite of this world don't want to serve. They want to be served. But Jesus stopped his public ministry at that time.
After he found out that they wanted to kill him, he stopped his public ministry because he didn't... It wasn't his time to go yet. So the Lord led him, just like the Lord led me, to get off the ridge and to open up other works, different places, because they wanted to catch us all together and destroy us all at once. And the federal government, under the leadership of President Bush, the old man, sent them up there because I exposed the fact that he had Nazi war criminals that were his advisors. And that he himself is a Nazi. And that his son is a Nazi. And his son, they're all Catholics. Because Hitler was a Catholic. And Hitler he was absolutely anti-Christ. The Vatican uses those kind of people to do a damage. And he uses backsliders just as he did Satan used Judas. Okay, continue on, please.
They were coming to kill the Jesus that was in me and the Jesus that was in everyone who was right with the Lord on the ridge.
Right.
There weren't very many of them, but there were
some. There weren't very many of the people on the ridge that were of the Lord because there were all kinds of false Christians there, but there were some. Okay, then what?
So
these ones that have gone, Jesuits have moved into our church. This is what... Alberto Rivera told me is that the Jesuits, that we have a lot of Jesuits in our church. He was with the Vatican and right next to the Pope. And he told us that there were a lot of Jesuits in our church because the Vatican realized that we're the strongest church out there. And that we have, that I have the guts and the fearlessness to come against them and to expose them. And so they placed a lot of these people into our church. And then they're saying, well, we were there, we know all this sort of stuff. That's what they did with Jesus. Like Judas, he said, I was with him, he's doing this and he's doing that, and Satan did that to God in the kingdom of heaven. He said, you people don't realize, what God is. I'm right next to him, I'm his covering angel, and you'd be surprised. I mean, he laughs at you when you worship him, and just all kinds of stuff like that. And it plants these evil seeds in people's brains. And that's what the Lord said that Satan does immediately when you receive the gospel into your heart. That Satan comes like a bird and comes down into your heart and steals that good seed, the word of God that's in there. It doesn't make any difference how much good you do. Here Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. That's and that made them all the more desirous
of killing Jesus, and not only Jesus but Lazarus, because it was a supernatural thing, and people began believing that what he was saying was true. And Rome was has gone crazy, and these unsaved Jews were, the first disciples, and all the prophets were Jews. We wrote the Bible. But there's bad and good of every nationality, okay? And then what? God didn't come, Jesus didn't come into this world to preach religion, because religion is of the devil. You see that it's of the devil because this religious order of the Vatican then was the very one that was, and it was the Jews that were under the authority of Caesar. Caiaphas was the Jew under the authority of Caesar. He was a Sadducee, okay? And so that's what he was doing. He knew that he had to get permission from the Roman government to kill him, but and what they did is that he said he's king. And we say that the kingdom would repent, everybody. Stop sinning. Stop being homosexual. Stop being a lesbian. Stop lying, stealing, murdering. I mean, you people are murdering hundreds of millions of people in this world. And you're going to go to hell for it if you don't repent. Okay? Now get right with God before it's too late. And you fornicators and you adulterers and you stinky liars. You dirty, filthy, rotten liars. And those of you that are trying to stop the Bible from even being exposed and stopping Christmas and everything that this nation was built on was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether it was or not, this is the only guide that we have is the Word of God of how to get into the kingdom of God. If it offends somebody, then to hell with them. Amen?
Amen.
To hell with them. They're nothing but dogs anyway, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And how are they even going to get saved unless we preach the gospel to them? This is the greatest kindness that we have. Even under all the persecution that we've had, we still, in love, preach the gospel to these dogs. And I'm not the one that came up with the name dogs. Jesus called them dogs. Amen?
Amen.
Disbelievers of God, they're like dogs. And people that are fighting the work of God are dogs that have gone back to their vomit. They're dog, vomit-lapping dogs, and they're sows wallowing in the mire. And there's no repentance for them. All right? Because if they've been turned over to delusions and a reprobate mind, that's a mind that's been rejected by God. Keep reading, please.
So he took his disciples away from Jerusalem to Ephraim. From there, Jesus took his disciples to Galilee for a while. In chapter 12, verse 1, what happened was, quote, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was raised from the dead, whom Jesus had raised from the dead.
Yeah, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Let's see these government agents do that. These corrupt people that need to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Let's see you false accusers do that. Let me see how many souls you're saving out there. Let me see how many souls you are helping. We have letters from all over the world that we're helping to the starving children in Africa, India, here in the United States, men, women, and children. We gave them water. We've given them electricity. We've given them food and clothing. And more than all that, the ministry, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, we've preached to them, and they saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of the people there reclining at the table with Jesus. Mary took a pound of nard, or spikenard, it was a costly perfume, pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair.
Now the costliness of it was that at that time it was about the equivalent of 11 months of wages. That's how much that stuff costs. But who more deserves it than Jesus, amen?
Amen.
Or some of the, or the people that are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that it's the Lord in them living out his life in us. We're the continuation of Christ here on earth. If you're attacking us, you're attacking Christ. Because the Bible says so.
when the Lord met Paul on the road to Damascus, he says, "Why art thou kicking against me? Why are you fighting me?" And Paul could say, "I'm not fighting you, Lord. I'm fighting these Christians." But Jesus is God, and he says, "You're fighting the Christians. You're fighting me, boy." Amen?
Amen.
And Paul never answered back, "Well, I'm not fighting you. I'm fighting these Christians." He knew very good and well that these Christians, when the Lord talked to him that way, that they are Christ's in them. Because they never recanted. They never turned against Jesus. They were willing to go to their death. But these people are out in this world today. They're not willing to give up anything, especially their precious, mousy-like flesh and their deteriorating bodies, their filth, their lying tongues. They're not willing to give these things up for the gospel. And the Lord's not willing to let them out of hell in the lake of fire, ever. He's never going to allow them to stop suffering. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, okay? You weasels out there. And the Lord, weasel's a good name for you because the Lord calls you devils, and that's exactly what you are, all right? I'll use the word that the Lord uses, devils, okay? Continue on, please.
And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot heard of the offer of the high priest and the elite.
He heard, we want to find somebody that's going to show us where Jesus is. Sure, we got to find him. But what Caiaphas didn't realize is that Jesus wanted to be found because Jesus came into this world to be taken by the high priest and the Roman soldiers. And to be taken and killed for the sins of the world. And so everything that Caiaphas was doing was actually defeating the cause of Satan and was doing everything that the Lord intended to happen. There would be absolutely no possibility of our getting saved if Christ wasn't captured and taken to or betrayed by his own people, by this person. This evil person. And a lot of people say, well, Judas is going to heaven. But the Bible says it would be better for that man that he had never been born. Because he actually betrayed and turned in the King of Glory, the author of our salvation, our Creator. And there's no possibility that that man is going to go to heaven. All these false prophets are telling that stuff to try to encourage you to do the same thing Judas did. And you're fools if you think that it's going to happen. The Bible says don't call a man a fool, except a person that says that there is no God and that there's no retribution. They're fools. So I'm telling you what Jesus said. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm not the one that calls him that. He is. Okay? Keep reading.
One of Jesus' disciples, unquote, was intending to betray him. Verse 5, he said, quote, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarius and given to poor people?" Unquote. Verse 6, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he was used to pilfering it, the money that was put into it.
Yeah. He'd pilfer. He'd go in and take it. I want to get himself something today, and so I'm going to take some of that out. Forget the ministry. Okay? Then what?
Therefore Jesus said, quote, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." Verse 8, "For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Unquote. One time I remember playing with Benji. I had to take
care... Benji is one of the kids that was in the church, and his mother left him in his crib. And so Susie and I adopted him. She left a letter there saying that we should raise him. So we raised him. And here I was. Susie was very sick in bed in Nashville. And this little boy was running around the house. And I had to, watch him. And then Susie called me into the bedroom and told me, "Look, Benji, you'll always have with you." Except Benji gave up the Lord and went to be with his mother that betrayed him, that left him in the crib and ran off with another man other than her husband, left her husband behind and her child in the crib. And so that was tragic for him. But people are
you know, they won't read the Bible, don't care anything about the Lord. They'll go with the people that didn't care anything about him. She didn't care anything about him, never asked about him, never wrote about him. So go ahead and read.
I had to take care of Benji in the house while Susie was so sick and in bed. She called for me. She needed something. She said, "Look, you know you're not going to have me with you always. This Benji, you'll have him always with you, but you'll not always have me with you." I just thought I was supposed to, because she told me to take care of him.
That's the same words that the Lord says. I'll not always be with you. Okay? These poor people will always be with you, but I won't be with you. And I just marveled at her saying that. Then what?
But then I realized how sick she was. Verse 9, quote, "Now the large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead." Verse 10, but the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death.
Yeah, people be curious. You know, you raise somebody from the dead, people want to see him. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. All those denarii were equivalent to 11 months' wages, what the perfume cost. It was a custom to put that on a body for their burial at that day in time. Caiaphas was the leader of the religious group called the Sadducees. He was educated and wealthy. The Bible tells that being wealthy is a very dangerous thing, because people get their minds set on this world and the things that you can buy with the money. They were politically influential in the nation as the elite group. They were on fairly good terms with Rome because of the money they had, and they had connections. They hated Jesus because he endangered their secure lifestyles and taught a message that they hated, because they could not accept it. They could not accept a kingdom in which leaders served the poor people. This message had no appeal to them whatsoever. They liked to kick back and relax. Caiaphas's policy was to remove any threats to his power by whatever means. So he just found that whatever was necessary had to be.
Yeah, his power and his lifestyle. He didn't want to go serve the Lord. Okay, then what? That was like a dirty thing to him. Filthy. Just like these people that fight the gospel. They're filthy, and they think that the gospel is filthy. You'll find out very soon which one is filthy. Okay, you unrepentant dogs. Then what?
But to Caiaphas, whether Jesus should die was not in question. It was for sure that Jesus had to die. The only point that needed to be settled was when his death should take place.
When and where? Then what?
Not only did Jesus have to be captured and tried, but the Jewish council also had to get permission or approval from Rome before they could carry out this death. Jesus was sentenced to death. For what? He was guilty in the eyes of the Antichrist. Caiaphas's plans were unexpectedly helped.
Just as we are guilty in the eyes of today's Antichrist regime. Then what?
Caiaphas's plans were unexpectedly helped by one of the Lord's followers. Judas's offer to betray Christ came as a pleasant surprise to them. Caiaphas didn't realize that his schemes were actually part of a wonderful plan God was carrying out. Caiaphas's willingness to sacrifice another man to preserve his own security was clearly selfish. By contrast, Jesus was willing to die for every human being who would accept him, was a clear example of how selfless and loving Jesus was. Caiaphas thought that he had won the battle as Jesus hung on the cross, but he didn't count on the resurrection. Caiaphas's mind was closed. He couldn't accept the resurrection, even when the evidence of the resurrection was so overwhelming that he attempted to silence those whose lives had been forever changed by the proof of this, the risen Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse 12 through 13. Caiaphas represents those people who will not believe because they think they're going to lose something, that it would cost them too much to accept Jesus as Lord. They chose the fleeting power, prestige, and pleasures of this life instead of the eternal life God offers those who receive his Son. Those of you in Radioland, what is your choice? Do you accept Jesus or Caiaphas?
Right, you have to make a decision. And if you say, well, not tonight, then you're already tonight, or this afternoon or this morning, whenever you're hearing this broadcast, you're automatically receiving Caiaphas, Satan, really. And so, and if you die sometime today or in the middle of the night, your soul is going to go directly, you're going to go right to hell. That's for sure. There's scriptures about the rich man in hell, located this other Lazarus that was on the side in the kingdom of heaven. And he was saying, warn my brothers about this place. Say, they have been warned. Lord, but send them somebody that's been raised from the dead. They said, oh, Jesus was raised from the dead, and they still don't believe it. Especially today, people don't believe. I see that my time is up, and so, you know, it's very necessary if you want to go to heaven to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're either going to accept him or going to say, I don't want anything to do with him. Okay? And so the way to get right with the Lord, there's a certain amount of people out there that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive him by saying this prayer. I say it right now with all your heart and soul, because it's for you. You're not going to give up anything. You're going to get all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven, the commonwealth of the kingdom of God. So the way to have God life living in you is to say this prayer now. Say it with all your heart. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord, everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Let us raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord for saving your soul. And let us know so we can say something about this marvelous thing that has happened to you on our radio program. And Sharon, tell them now how to receive a copy, either a CD or a audio tape of program number 232, this program here, absolutely free and without any charge for handling and shipping.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, now we're going to go off the air now with a song that I sang. It's called I'll Walk With God. I heard that song while I was unsaved, and it brought me to, I'm not a crier, but it brought me to tears when I heard Mary Alonso sing it in a movie called The Student Prince. And so I thought one day I'd really love to sing that song. And Joe Leahy, one of the very best arrangers I've ever known, is the one that arranged this song. So listen up, I'll Walk With God.